Hi, I'm Jim Maurer. Thanks for joining me here for Lesson 2. Today we're talking about pluralism in religion. Pluralism, like we talked last time, in a fallen world is good. Its main attribute is peaceful coexistence in a diverse society. We have so many different ideas in different realms, realms that are important and affect us all, political, cultural, religious. And so in this world where there is such diversity, the peaceful coexistence is necessary. And so pluralism exists where each one can hold their respective belief. But as we pointed out last time, pluralism in the realm of truth claim cannot ultimately persist. There must be, where there's a truth claim, that means there's one truth. Their exclusivism will ultimately prevail. You can only believe one thing that's really, really true. Two opposing views of the truth cannot both be true. So every person should want to know the truth. Wherever there's a realm of truth claim, whether it's the example we used in the last lesson, the cosmological point of view regarding creation or evolution, both cannot be true. Whichever is true, it's very important to understand which is true because of the ramifications involved in that. So we should always be seekers of truth. We should always want the truth. That's how we live. We should always want to know what is true. There's no premium on falsehood. No one likes to be deceived or ignorant or lied to. We should always be people of truth. We want to know what the truth is. In a court of law, for instance, we raise our right hand and we affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Our system of justice absolutely depends on truth. And again, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Even partial truth, what is presented as the whole truth, is a lie. So we value truth and we realize its importance in that vital area. Reminds me of what we said last time about a man named Bengel who said, truth essentially is a unit. It accepts nothing foreign to it and denies nothing of itself. Truth is one thing. It's the reality. And we should all want and defend and promote truth because we should want to help our fellow man. Truth is a benefit to all of us in every aspect, in every realm. So we should all be lovers of truth. We mentioned last time, too, that life is made up of choices. We've been given free will, and the greatest expression of our character is through choices. And so we're constantly making choices. We make choices largely by logic and emotion, or a blend of them. Logic is always the better element in making a choice that matters. So when we're talking about truth claims, we shouldn't allow just emotion or preferring a certain position, which is emotion, to guide us, but we should be guided by logic or intelligence, because logic can be proven. Logic has to do with reality. If you're choosing a dessert, for example, choose emotionally. Choose the one you like. Choose the one that will make you happy, unless there's a health concern. And then we must resort to logic. Which choice is logically better for me based on health reasons? And the reason for that is very obvious. But again, it's where it matters. Where something matters, logic needs to prevail in the making of choices over just emotion. I want to make 5 points. The first one is that the idea of pluralism in religion, it means basically that people who hold to pluralism say multiple religious beliefs are equally valid or true. And the world loves the idea of religious pluralism because everybody's kind of included in that way. And you'll hear people say such things who hold to pluralism in religion. They'll say such things as this: there are many avenues to God, or people of various religions are simply referring to the same God by a different name, they might insist. Or someone may say, all the religions of the world do good and are thus equally valid. Others want to insist that no one religion of the world is the only true one. That's exclusivism, which is highly resisted by those who hold a pluralistic view. Or someone might say, too, no religion has all the truth. Each religion has a part of it. So to the pluralist, Judaism, Christianity, Islam, New Age, you name it, Hinduism, they're all acceptable means to approach God. And in pluralism, generally, it's held that if a person is sincere about his faith, it's valid, or it's valid enough. I want to bring you to point two. Religious pluralism is practical for societal peace. We've mentioned that for three reasons. One, peaceful coexistence. Two, to prevent repression of religion or forced religion. That's not good. But also, we recognize that people have free will. People have God-given free will. And God guards free will. He wants people to manifest themselves, their character, by their choices. And so we recognize that people have free will to choose as they will, even if it's believing the wrong thing. We just grant them, you can try to instruct, inform someone, teach someone, but we finally recognize that everyone has free will, and that means the free expression to believe as they want, even if it's to their detriment, sadly. My point three is that pluralism in religion is temporary. There ultimately can only be one true religion. That's because religion, as we've said here, makes truth claims. In fact, religion makes the biggest truth claims in the world. Nothing claims truth like religion does. Religion claims to tell us things we could not know otherwise. Things about God, about salvation, about life after death, about eternity. And so if religion is true, it tells us the most important things of all. Therefore, it makes the largest truth claims. And regarding an area of truth, there can only be one, because there can only be one reality. Reality is singular. There's no such thing, or there can't possibly be opposing realities. There is only one reality, and truth makes a claim about reality. Therefore, there can only be one religion, one truth. And it's important because the moment we leave this world, nothing else will matter than what was true about religion, what is really true about God or about salvation, life after death, etc. Eternity, that's what really matters. Point four, everyone should want to know the truth about what is most important to us, our origin, God, the origin of the universe. All those things matter because they ramify. The truth in this area ramifies into eternity. So everyone, you would think, every reasonable person would want to know what is the ultimate truth, because in ultimate reality, that singular truth is the most important thing there could possibly be. That's why I like to emphasize salvation doctrine, because to me, being saved is the most important thing in the world. To me, doctrine, the truth about reality, is the most important thing in the world. And so the emphasis of this website, especially on salvation doctrine, because I can't think. I've had people tell me there's more important things than doctrine, but I haven't been able to see what that could possibly be. Because ultimately, if we're not right with God, ultimately, if we're not saved, ultimately, if we're not fit for what we face in eternity, if we're not ready for heaven, then I can't think of anything else that really matters. So truth does matter. So everyone should want that, should want to know the truth about religion. It should be sought. The truth in this area should be sought by all persons, non-religious and religious. And if you're religious, no matter what that faith system that they now are in, they must still want to know, if I'm not in the truth, I want to be in the truth. And it should be sought by every person. In fact, actually, every person is religious. There is no person who's not religious. That's because everyone takes a faith position, every single person. In fact, there is no realm in human experience of no faith. Even the atheist has a belief system. He believes there is no God. And to believe there is no God, which cannot be proven, is a faith position. So everyone, whether he considers himself religious or not, has a faith position, and therefore is a religious creature. So, point five, in the realm of religion, exclusivism does not exclude people. This is so important. Sometimes people, when you say you're an exclusivist, you believe there's one way, you believe there's one true religion, and immediately people can be offended. They think you're excluding others. They think you're eliminating them, pushing them out, putting up walls, whatever their way of expressing it may be. But exclusivism in religion does not exclude people. It excludes wrong ideas. Everyone is included in true religion. Anyone can embrace it. Anyone can believe the truth. The truth doesn't bar some people. Everyone can believe the truth and should want to, as we've said before. And so that is what is beneficial to people, to know the truth. Like I said, one moment after death, that's all that matters. So in the realm of religion, exclusivism doesn't exclude a soul, but it only excludes false ideas. And that's what we all ought to want. Never is ignorance or never is falsehood a premium. Truth is what will prevail, and truth is what really, really matters. Summarizing what we've said here in this short lesson today, pluralism in religion, while necessary until we all come to the unity of the faith, is ultimately temporary because there is only one reality. Another thing in summary, religion tells us the most important things of all, and those things we ought to be most concerned about and most earnest in our pursuit of truth. We must be earnest in those things. And my third point in summary is everyone should want to know which religion is true for all the apparent important reasons that I mentioned. One moment after death, nothing else will matter than that. We should all want to know the truth and be seekers of it. And then finally, repeating again my fifth point here in summary, in the realm of religion, exclusivism does not exclude people. It actually invites people to the one truth. It only excludes wrong ideas, and we ought all to be in favor of that. Thanks for joining me. Hope to see you next time. And in lesson three, we will talk about this. Jesus was an exclusivist. All right. God bless.